So often what defines them as people and defines their experience of God is the things that haven't gone right, or the things that they've lost, or the pain that they've suffered. I know for me, one of the biggest personal growths that I've experienced as a person in the last year or so is coming to the acceptance that I'm always going to be somewhat defined as a grieving father. Because of our experience of losing Aria, our oldest daughter, that always part of my personality is going to be defined as a grieving parent. And I'm okay with that, and I've come to accept that that's always going to be an aspect of who I am. And I think that all of us experience an aspect of grief in our life. All of us are somewhat defined by the things that we've lost in our life. And in the book of Ruth, we hear the story of one lady's incredible loss. And this morning, I want to talk a little bit about grief, about loss, and how that affects somebody, and how we can journey through that, and how God ministers in that. So let's have a look at the story of Ruth, and look at the way that grief affected Naomi, this main character. Now, grief is defined as a feeling of deep mental anguish caused by loss. It can be the loss of a loved one, loss of possessions, loss of a career, or some other life-changing loss. Grief can also be sorrow for something that someone has done or failed to do. So grief is a pretty broad thing. And because we live in a fallen world, life inevitably comes accompanied with loss. All of us here will experience the loss of people that we love. We don't live forever, so it's inevitable that we've lost grandparents or parents. Some of us have lost children. Because we live in a sinful world where things go wrong, some of us have lost possessions through burglary. Some of us have lost relationships through bad communication or the natural fallout of the world. We are all surrounded by loss because sin has an effect in every aspect of life. Life is always in the natural spiraling downwards into decay and brokenness. And that is reflected in every aspect of the world we're surrounded by. So there is none of us today here who will go through life having not experienced some sort of loss. And loss is significant. When I look back on my life, I can determine some big aspects of life that have big impacts on my personality and link those to losses that I've experienced. Whether there be loss of relationships, loss of life, loss of confidence, loss of security, loss of safety, loss of confidence. These things have all had massive impacts on who I am through life. And I'm sure as I speak to you this morning, when you look back at your life, when you take a summary of who you are and how you see the world and how you feel about yourself, I'm sure that for each of you, there are losses in your life that have helped shape and define who you are. And each of those losses contributes a degree of grief in your life, a degree of mental and physical and emotional anguish in response to that. Now, Naomi was a lady who was well acquainted with grief. She lost so much, and as we read through in the first chapter of Ruth, her story, we can see those losses. We start off the story with Naomi and her husband Elimelech living in Bethlehem with their two sons. And because there was a famine in the land, they moved for a while to the country of Moab. Now even starting that may seem like that's an introductory sentence. But anybody who's ever left home or moved far away from where they've grown up, the mere act of leaving what's comfortable and familiar and safe and moving to a new place can bring grief, can bring a sense of loss. The loss of familiarity, the loss of your social network, the loss of your family presence, moving away from where it's comfortable and safe and secure into a new place can trigger the sense of loss. So that mere act of moving from Bethlehem to Moab would have triggered some of these feelings of loss for Naomi. And then when she gets there and is living in Moab, we hear that her husband, Elimelech, passes away, which again would have triggered a new sense of loss. Shortly after that, the two sons also died. Again, Naomi's going through this time and time again of losing loss of her security of being in a familiar place, having the loss of her husband, which is not just, and her sons, not just family losses, but also loss of security. In that time and age, a woman who wasn't under the protection and care and comfort of a man was in a very vulnerable and exposed place. So the loss of her husband and her sons was exposing her to real risk in a physical and practical sense. How was she going to survive? Who was going to protect her? Her security and future were being eaten away. And she then had no chance of her future and her family being extended. There was no chance for her name to carry on. She was in a place where she was so exposed and so vulnerable, overwhelmed by various senses of loss. And this is the story of Naomi, but it's also the story of so many of us and people in our world. Our world, because it's a fallen world, because there's brokenness all around us, because things go wrong in our lives. Each of us has and will experience loss. And each loss does trigger an emotional and spiritual and physical reaction. And that's okay. That is part of the life that we live in this world. Because of the brokenness that we have experienced through sin, there is loss. And because there is loss, there is pain and grief and anguish. And this deeply affected Naomi. You can see down in verse 20 there that this anguish that she experienced has moved her. That when her friends back in Bethlehem see her and ask, "Can this be Naomi?" she says, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because the Lord, the Almighty, has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." She had lost. She went away feeling like all hopeful about the future. And because of the loss that she'd experienced, she felt empty and bitter and anguish. And that's grief. The empty feeling. The bitter feeling, the hard feeling, the feeling of hopelessness. And that's a feeling that many of us can and will feel in life. And it's okay to accept that. It's okay to acknowledge that. And it's okay to journey with that. Because each of us will and must experience that. As I was looking into this area of grief and trying to reflect on it, C.S. Lewis quote stood out to me. C.S. Lewis said this: "No one ever told me that grief felt so like fear." That sense of loss doesn't just bring an anguish and a grief, but also is connected to fear. Naomi had a right to be fearful. She didn't know what her future looked like now. Her life had been so tied up and connected as a woman of Bethlehem with her husband and sons. She knew what the future was going to look like. But when that was ripped away by the sin and loss of this world, what was she left with? What was the future for her? Where was she going? Who would keep her safe? What was going to happen? All these questions, all this fear would have welled up inside her. Would her life ever be normal again? Would she ever be okay? These questions that she wouldn't have answers for would have stirred up worry within her. Am I going to be all right? What's the future going to look like? Can I cope with this new normal? Would have caused anxiousness and trouble within her. When people talk about grief, when they talk about loss and how to work through that, they often show a nice curve of the five stages of grief. And a nice simple path where you go from depression and anger, and then, I can't remember that, all five. And it goes through despair, and it goes into acceptance eventually. And there's an idea of a nice, smooth pathway that you journey through when you experience loss. It's hard at first, but eventually you'll work through it, and at the end you'll kind of be okay. But that's not the case. It's so much more complicated than that, and it's so much more involved than that. And one day you can feel great, the next day you can feel awful again. So with Naomi here expressing her pain and her bitterness and her anguish and her fear and her grief, that's entirely normal. And some of us will experience that. If we've lost something, whether it be our health or our wealth or our security or our confidence, we're going to have this mixture of emotions, and some days we'll feel awful and some days we'll feel great. But that's all normal. It's all part of the experience that we have as human beings. And it's okay. If you have experienced any sort of grief over any sort of loss, whether that be a loss of your health, whether it be the loss of a friendship, whether it be loss of security, whether it be loss of confidence, whether it be loss of relationship or family, or a loss of life, it's okay to feel this tumult of grief and of fear and of anguish. All these feelings are okay. It's okay to feel deeply. It's okay to express these feelings deeply. It's okay to give yourself time to mourn and to weep and to express the pain that you have. Another helpful thing that I've learned over the last few years is someone said that anything you bury in your life, if you bury it alive, it will crawl back out. I don't know if you've ever seen zombie movies where you see their hand go up through the ground and it comes crawling out. That's what happens if you have feelings, deep feelings, that you just repress and push down and don't address. If you push them down without dealing with them and giving them time to express and work through, they're going to out through your life and start running rampage through your life and cause chaos. So it's okay to acknowledge those feelings, to feel those feelings, to express those feelings, because if you don't, if you just try to put a brave face and toughen up and soldier through, they're going to cause such chaos in your life. So it's okay to outwardly express the inner pain and turmoil that you feel. One of the most powerful verses in Scripture, and one of the most liberating one, is in John 11:38. It says, Jesus wept. The Son of God, the Almighty over all creation, with the power of all to do all things, when faced with a difficult situation, when he saw the pain and the brokenness in the world, Jesus wept. In response to loss, in response to brokenness, in response to grief, it is okay to weep. Jesus, the Son of God, wept because of the pain and the loss that he saw. And he wept. He wept the loss of his dear friend. And it's okay for us to weep in the face of loss. As we look back on our life and we see the pain and the struggle that exists, it's okay to feel that. It's okay to express that. Another quote that I saw when I was looking at this area of grief that I felt was really helpful was this: grief, I've learned, is really just love. It's all the love you want to give but cannot. All of that unspent love gathers up in the corners of your eyes, the lump in your throat, and in that hollow part of your chest. Grief is just love with no place to go. And I thought that was really powerful. We feel great loss because we love that thing that is gone. Maybe it's that feeling that you grieve the fact that your body doesn't work the way it once did. Maybe you grieve the fact that you can't get on the phone and talk to that person that you used to talk to when things were hard. Maybe you grieve the fact that you no longer have that shop you used to go to and get your favorite curry from. There are things that actually cause grief because we used to love doing that. We loved being involved with that. We loved being able to express that. And now it's gone, and that love that we had is no longer got an outlet to go down. So it catches in our hearts. It gathers in our eyes. It's a lump in our throat. Because we are made to love. By our very nature, we are creatures of love in the way that God is God of love. We are people of love, and we give our love to things, and when that's gone, it hurts. because we want to express love, but we can't because it's gone. And love is so important in the process of grief, in the process of hurt. Now, it's interesting when we go through the sense of loss and we're feeling a mental anguish and pain. There's sometimes a desire to distance yourself from love because love hurts. It is love that has caused us grief, so love is going to continue to hurt. So there's a temptation in that time to push away those who might try to love you. I don't want to expose myself to love anymore because love hurts. And I wonder in the verse 8 here, where Naomi said to her daughters, "Go back each of you to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown your death to me." That this pushing away of Ruth and Orpah wasn't just a kindness to them, but also a desire to protect yourself from any further loss. If you've suffered loss, if you have suffered pain, there is a desire to protect yourself from further pain. So if a relationship has caused you pain, or the loss of someone you love has caused you pain, you may have the temptation to push away other people who could continue to cause you pain. I know that to be a reality in my life. That sometimes I have been hurt in relationship, and there's been a part of me that is scared of exposing myself to further relationship and further investing myself into relationship because I don't want to experience that pain and suffering again. I wonder that when Naomi says to Ruth and to Orpah, "Go back to your family," not only is she showing them kindness, but saying, "Look, I can't bear to deal with you guys as well. I need to protect myself. I'm going to withdraw and keep myself safe from the outside world." And that is always going to be a temptation when you've experienced pain, is to withdraw and keep yourself safe from further pain. The temptation is to push away, to isolate, to separate. Love causes pain, so love is to be feared. No one understands. I can only trust me. I'm cursed. No one should be near me. These are things that you may feel when you're going through the deep emotional anguish. Let's keep myself safe. Keep others safe from me. But I don't think that is the key to journey through grief well, to experience that loss well. There is truth that grief and love are so intimately connected. But we don't need to push away love. We need to experience and receive it and express it even more during a time of loss and of pain and of suffering. And this is what makes Ruth's love in the situation so powerful. When Naomi's saying, "Go, get away from me, I'm no use to you anymore. All I'm going to do is cause you pain and grief." When she's saying that to Ruth, Ruth doesn't say, "Okay, I'm out. I'm going to go live my happy life." Ruth doesn't do that. In verse 16, she says this famous line, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." So we're at this time when the temptation is to push away and to run away and to isolate. Ruth says, "I am not going away. I am going to be with you here in your pain and in your grief and in your loss, and I'm going to stick with you regardless." And that's what's so important through a time of loss. If you experience a time of loss, or someone you know has experienced a time of loss, you need to stick with them and stay with them and express love to them. The most powerful thing that Ruth has done in this time with Naomi isn't any lecture that Ruth gives to Naomi about how she should view the world or think about the world. What's made so powerful is that Ruth just is there. She sits with her and stays with her. If you look at the book of Job, another guy who experienced such pain and suffering in the world. When he was most powerfully comforted, when he was most served, is when his friends came and sat with him for weeks in the ashes and just sat there in silence. That was when he was most served and blessed, was by the presence of people who were expressing care. And that's what people need when they've gone through a significant loss. It isn't a lecture. It isn't a pep talk. What they need is a presence and a love and a care that says, I am with you and you're not going to lose me because I am here for you. Love in actions, love of presence, love of self, just being in that place with someone who's going through pain is so important. They are scared of love because love has caused them loss. Love has caused them hurt. So if you just expressed your love to them in simple wordless ways by saying, I am here, and I'm going to stick with you through thick and thin. That's a very, very powerful thing. And this is how Ruth so powerfully expresses her love for Naomi. I'm here with you. I'm sticking with you. You've lost, but you haven't lost me. For as long as God wills it, I'm beside you and I'm going to stay with you no matter what. If I don't, God can kick my butt. That's what she's saying here. That only God will be able to separate me from you. Only God will be able to separate my love for you. And that's a really powerful thing. So while this sense of loss is a powerful thing, love is what helps us journey through this time of suffering. The love of others and the love of God for us. And the other great thing about loss is that even though we do experience loss because of a broken world, there's hope in this broken world. There is real, tangible hope in the world. We don't have to be forever defined by our loss. Our losses, our griefs, our suffering does help shape who we are, but it doesn't have to completely define who we are. We don't have to expect loss to be everything in the world because we are told that we are not losers in this world, that we are victors, that we are more than conquerors because there is great hope in the world. Because the world is not forever broken. It's not forever broken because Jesus came to redeem the world and to turn down that downward spiral in the chaos and turn it around and start on a path towards restoration and fullness again. So we have this incredible hope that we can hold on to even through the suffering and the loss and the pain and the grief. Now, one of the small but powerful things in this first chapter that can be easily overlooked is the last verse down there in 22. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. You may just think that that's just a little segue, that it's just a little update on the timing, but it's not. This verse is powerful. Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. For Naomi, this is powerful. She's returned back to that place where she belongs. This is the place where she grew up. This is the place that's familiar, where she has connections that will know her and love her and care for her. She isn't arriving back alone. She has Ruth with her, who has sworn through thick and thin that I'm going to be with you no matter what. Those are two reasons for hope. And what might just seem like a small detail at the end, as the barley harvest was beginning, that's not just a throwaway line. That, again, is cause for hope. Because God in his goodness had put provisions in his law for people that allowed people like Naomi and Ruth, widows, and people who were vulnerable, to be cared for through the harvest. They arrived back just the right time to have hope in the temporal, back in a familiar place with someone who was going to stick with her thick and thin and at a time where she knew where her meals were going to come from. That is hope for Naomi. She had experienced such loss, such grief, such pain, but there's hope because God is going to be able to work things out in the temporal, in the here and now. There is hope for all of us. But there's also hope in the eternal. We will experience grief in our life. We will experience loss in our life. And that does affect us in ways that will be with us for the rest of our lives. And we will learn to live with it. We will never get over some of these losses. They will always have some impact on us, but we will learn to live with it. You will heal and you will rebuild yourself around the loss you have suffered. You will be whole again, but you will never be the same again. You will heal from the loss. You will heal from the pain, but you will never be the same again. But that's okay, because God will use that new you that he has made for his purpose. He will use that new you that he has formed and created and take you into the future in a way that will be of a blessing to you and a blessing to this world. But in the bigger picture of life, in the bigger picture of eternity, we know that God is in charge. That every grief that we've suffered, every loss that we've experienced, is not outside God's control. And for whatever reason, God has allowed sin and death and suffering in this world to last for a time. But it doesn't have free power. It can't do whatever it wants. It is limited by God's sovereignty. And he allows, for his great purposes, some of these things to happen in life. And we don't always know why. And it's okay to question that. It's okay to challenge that. When Naomi says, down in that verse 20, "The Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." There's truth in that. God did allow her husband to die. God did allow her sons to die. And God's okay for us saying, "God, I don't know why you did this. Why? Why am I sick? Why did I lose my job? Why did someone die? Why?" The question why is fine. Because God's big enough to handle why. God knows the reason why. He knows why this has happened. We don't always know why, but he does. And he will accept, because he loves us, us having a tough time. Sometimes perspective, sometimes time will help you look back and realize why life went the way it did. If you look at the story of Joseph, back in Genesis, when he was sold by his brothers into slavery, he would have been going, "Why? Why would my brothers do that? Why would you allow me, God, why would you allow me to be sold to an Egyptian? Why would you have me thrown in jail?" The why questions would have been massive. But at the end of his life, when God had worked out his plan, he was able to look back and say, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." For Joseph, time was able to give him the perspective to understand the purpose of suffering, the purpose of loss, the purpose of struggle. And some of us, as we look back on some of the struggles in our past, some of the losses in our past, some of the griefs in our past, we'll be able to say, "I can see how God has used that for his glory. I can see how God has used that to shape my character. I've seen how God has made me useful because of that." But some of you will be like, "Nah, still don't get it. Don't see how that's helpful." And that's okay. We don't have that big picture perspective. We don't have full insight and full understanding. But because we know there's an all-powerful God who loves you completely, I'd encourage you to shift that doubt, that trust into God's hands and say, "I don't get it, but I do know you, and I know you're good, I know you're powerful, so I'll leave that in your box. And I'll live my life as a person shaped by that experience and trust that you will use that, that you can use that, and that you will bring good out of that." In Isaiah 53, when it talks about Jesus, Jesus is described as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That pain that you felt, that pain that you carry, the loss that you've experienced, doesn't move you further away from God. It brings you closer to God. Because God grieves. God knows sorrow. When he sees the failings of this world, the fallenness, the brokenness all around us, God grieves that. That's not what he made. That's not the beautiful, wonderful, perfect thing he put into being. And every time someone turns away from him, every time someone sins, it breaks God's heart. He grieves that loss of relationship. He grieves that failure. So God isn't far removed from the experience of pain. He feels pain. He feels your pain. He feels with love the grief that you've had. Because this aspect of grief and sorrow is part of who God is. Our part of our spiritual maturity is experiencing that and journeying with that and through that. We can't expect that not to be part of who we are if that's part of who God is. But it's that trusting to God's power and love to shape us in that and through that for the future. Now, as I speak to you this morning, I raise this issue. I know that there's going to be some struggle here. Some of you are wrestling right now with griefs, with a sense of loss, a sense of emptiness, a sense of pain. And that's okay. We're all going on that journey. If you can sit here this morning saying, look, I don't feel any loss, I don't feel any grief, it's coming. I'd like to say, you're good, but this is the world we live in. There will be grief in your life. There will be a time of sorrow and suffering because that's the nature of our world. But grief is a good thing. Grief means that we are creatures of love. It means that we have experienced love, that we have expressed love, and we have known love. Grief is a good thing because it helps us become more like God. It helps us see God and know God more closely. And I ask that as a group of people that meet here together, as a family of God's people, that we are conscious and sensitive to the loss and grief of others in the room. Each of us here is carrying pain. And are we loving and journeying with and sticking with those people in their pain? Whatever that may be. Or have we removed ourselves? Have we distanced ourselves? Have we opposed ourselves because of that loss? All of us can learn from Ruth. I see your pain. I see your loss. I see your grief. And I'm going to stand beside you in that. I will be here when you need me. I will love you without condition, without acceptance, because I recognize that you have loved and lost, and you need love to move on from that loss. That is our challenge as God's people, our challenge as a family, to love well through loss. We all will experience loss, and we all need to experience love. The reason why I asked Jono to have songs this morning around the idea of God's incredible love for us is because it's God's example of love. That sacrificial, that hard love that God showed by dying for us is the love that we need to stick with someone through the emotional roller coaster of loss. I encourage you and challenge you to love like God would love, sacrificially, completely, and unconditionally, those around us who are going through a tough time. Let me pray. Lord, I just want to bring before you all the pain, all the suffering, all the grief that we carry in this room, Lord. It's vast and it's diverse, and you know each and every ounce of it intimately. Lord, I give you thanks that you see us, and that you grieve with us, and you grieve for us. And Lord, I give you thanks for the hope that we have, the hope that you are sovereign, that you are powerful, that you are loving. And I pray, Lord, that your love for us and the love that we experience from other people who love you and love us would help us on our journey through pain to become the new people that you need us to be because of our pain, to be useful for you in the future and to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.